Hallelujah. Only Believe Church, you are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. You can stand up, bud. You might just start shouting over this one. You are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you realize that He reveals all things? He teaches all things. And He comes with a power and 9 gifts that you can possess. All you got to do is be willing and able, and He drops them on whom He may will at the time He needs them, so He knows He can depend on you. Amen? Amen. God can depend on you, Only Believe. Today we are going to speak about authority when you pray. Now, it's not a secret we're in 21 days of prayer, but I was reminded when this was running through my heart about what to speak. This happened back in December, that we were in a home group once. And when we were there, there was a lady that needed prayer that had visited our home group. And when she came, she had had some type of mental struggle. I'm not sure what it was, whether it was depression, anxiety. I don't know what it was. But I had been assigned to pray over her. Oftentimes in a home group, you'll go around in a circle and they assign you a different person. And I prayed over her, and we commanded the devil to let loose of her mind and to set her free and to quit vexing her with his thoughts. Didn't think a thing about it. Just believed that God had done it. Never looked back. Didn't think anything. Well, after the home group, I got a text message from one of the members in the home group. And they said, "Pastor Nicole, how do I pray like that?" I said, "Pray like what? Like that wasn't nothing special. All we did was pray the word of the Lord over her life." She said, "No, there was something about that prayer. I want to pray like that." What was being sensed, it wasn't anything special about me or about Pastor Randy that had prayed. It wasn't about that. It was about a prayer released with authority and power. That authority and power is not something that you make up. It's not something that you, a specific line itemed list of words that you say. The power is not in your words that you release. The power is in the authority that was given to the believer to speak forth the word. And that's why it works. I think this is one of the most underestimated things of the church, is that if the church could understand the authority and the power that they have been given, and begin to operate in it. Not sit on it. Not just let it lay around so when we need it, we can use it. But live and walk in this authority. See, the devil's lied to us an awful long time. He tries to get us to believe that as believers, we need to beg God to do something for our life. And if He don't respond in the time and the fashion or how we want it, that we didn't beg enough. Or maybe we didn't ask the right way. Or maybe there's something wrong with us. And then what happens is this whole identity crisis begins to fuel itself in the believer's mind and in the church. I think it's about time some believers understand the authority that we've been given by Christ Himself and start walking in it. Amen? Yeah, we say yeah, but it's a little bit, it's simple, but it still takes a diligent effort to do so. You know, John 8:44 says that he, the devil, is the father of all lies. Just think of that. The father. A father gives birth to seed. A father sends out seed and it grows and makes something. The devil sets out to sow seed into our lives and for it to grow so that we will believe the lies of the devil and he will become our father. Did you hear me? When you believe the lie of the enemy, you become a slave to that master. When you believe the word of the Lord, then you become the slave to him. Amen. You don't get your cake and eat it too. Remember that James tells us that pretty much those thoughts that are tossing you to and fro, when you're unstable, you're not just unstable in that, you're unstable in everything that you do. So we know that a little leaven levels the whole lump. A little leaven makes the whole loaf rise, just a little. So it's important that you and I be sure that we're not believing the lies of the devil and setting him up as a place of a seed giver, as a father in our lives. I know that's easier said than done, right? But we're going to talk about it. Authority is not something that we rehearse, like I said, but it comes from a right relationship. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. You don't get to walk around in a sinful place and still walk in the authority of Christ. Because the authority you will walk in will be self-serving and only for you to deal with your selfish wants and needs. That's not how God works. The authority is for the church. The authority is for what he sent it to do. Right? And it's got these laws. It's got these parameters around it. Do you realize that God can't do anything, although he can do anything? He is all powerful, almighty. Do you know that Jesus went into a city and there he could do no work? Do you want to know why? Because no one believed in his power or his authority. Christ has this box, whether we like it or not, that the word of God built and put in place so that you and I can't be burnt up anymore. You understand that? There's no flood coming to the earth. You want to know why? Because the rainbow already came and it was our promise telling us that I will never flood the earth again like I did before. That's a parameter. So how do I know that the next apocalypse is not going to be a big tsunami that comes up out of the ocean and swallows all of his people? Because his word told me. His word put the parameters upon him. God put parameters upon his word. Do you realize there's a reason you and I don't ask for certain things? Because he's already given you and I the authority to deal with it. You and I don't beg God to do anything because the word already said, I will do it. If you ask anything in my name, what's the rest of it say, church? I will do it. Is it possible that we don't use the authority when we pray? We don't use it because we're afraid it might not work. Right? Come on, come on. I'm speaking to you. Do you want to know who bore that lie in your spirit? The devil. Loretta, you got it. The devil. I'm here to remind you today of the authority that's been given to you. We're going to go to Genesis 1:26. I'm going to apologize in advance for these very small words on this big page because my glasses are in my car. Then God said, 1:26, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, over the livestock, the wild animals, and over all the creatures. Okay, go down to verse 28. God blessed them, Adam and Eve, male and female. He just made them and said to them. Mind you, if you look through the entire chapter of the first chapter of the Bible, in verse 3, in the beginning, God created. Verse 3, then God said. Verse 6, then God said. Verse 9, then God said. Verse 14, then God said. Verse 20, then God said. God is speaking with his authority and his power things into existence. What did you see him doing anything? No. It literally said, I just see him on this big throne. And just sitting there, what are we going to do today, boys? Let's create a universe. How are we going to do that? We're going to speak it. Speak a thing. That's exactly right, John. Just speak it. What? Jesus, God was using his authority to speak things that didn't even exist into being. Verse 28, God blessed them and said to them what he's created, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue, this means govern it, rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, blah, 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 blah. Okay, now, we can go on down and we can read in Genesis, the third chapter, go right over there, because I want you to read the first verse with me. It said, now the serpent, the snake, you've all heard the story of Adam and Eve, the snake, she bit of the fruit, an apple, not true, it doesn't say an apple, but it was a fruit. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. We know the story. We know Adam and Eve were tempted by the serpent because he was very crafty and he came in and they ate and they fell away because they sinned. But listen to what it said. It said, he was more crafty. He didn't say the devil was more powerful. He said the devil was more crafty, more sly, more sneaky, I like that word, than all the other wild animals. See, Satan was just an angel. An angel, hear me out. I'm not going to preface all this down. We would need 4 weeks to go through where Lucifer came from. But he is now a fallen angel, not a god, not a human, not made in the image of God like us. There's a pecking order in God's kingdom. You realize it's God, then humans, then angels, then demons. Angels, fallen angels, are demons. Why is it that we empower the devil? Why is it that we give him so much credit in this life? Come on, I'm talking right up your alley. I'm not speaking about the enemy and all these powers. I agree, they're there. I'm just saying, as God's child, I've been given authority over them. He was a created being. Through a lie, he was given authority. Do you realize that when Adam and Eve believed the lie of the devil, the authority that God had given them to govern and rule, they gave to the enemy through disobedience. They simply handed their authority right over on his plate. But the whole Old Testament talks about how this authority was fought. But then Christ came, right? Then Christ comes. Look at this. John 1 John 3:8. Let's go there and turn today. This is a beautiful scripture. I love the word. It's so amazing. And when God reveals something to you, it's even better. John 1:3-8, it says, the one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared, Jesus, was to destroy the devil's work. Someone say, destroy the devil's work. See, the war between God and the devil is already won. But for some reason, every day we wake up and we think there's this big battle between good and evil going on. No, there's not. Not if you choose to walk in the authority that Christ already gave you. That's why Christ came, to destroy the work of the enemy. Not almost destroy it, not kind of, not to let you struggle, but to destroy the work of the enemy. Colossians 2:14 says that he canceled our indebtedness, or our sin, which stood against us. He took it all away, nailing it to the cross. Here we go. Disarmed the powers. Disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities, and he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them with the cross. He rose from the grave, church. We have a powerful God. He didn't just walk around and confess this authority. He used it. He demonstrated it, and he had power to back it. After Jesus is resurrected, he's walking around, finishing up some stuff. He's telling everybody, the Holy Spirit's coming. Please go over here and wait. But let's go to Matthew 28:18. Because here's what he says. I think pretty much some important things that Jesus says is right before he leaves. I know people that when they pass, they want to be sure they say the right things before they leave. Why? Because that's what they want you to remember. I think this was important. It said, then Jesus came to them and said, the disciples, all authority, not some, not partial, all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus came through obedience and got back the authority that Adam and Eve left in the garden to the devil. Picked it back up and said, no. It's mine again. I have made it right. I've come to do the work of my Father. I gave my life on the cross, and now it's done. On earth has been given to me. Well, if all of that authority is his, now I would negotiate the fact that if you didn't have authority and power, then you couldn't give it away. Is that right? But if you have all of it, then you get to choose whether you give some of it away, all of it away, or maybe, here I give a little, there I give a little. Let's see what God gave us. Let's go to Luke, the 9th chapter. I know your fingers might bleed by the end of this message, but it's okay. When Jesus had called the 12 together, this is the disciples, learners of Christ. Don't act like this was only for the disciples, and because you weren't one of the 12 disciples, that this isn't for you. And that this is really just for people that follow Jesus in the Bible, those special 12. That's not true. The word disciple means a learner of Christ. Guess what? You're in this service today, you're learning of Christ, you're a disciple. You're a follower of Jesus, amen? He gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Jesus gave the disciples power and authority to deal with these things. And I'm not just talking sickness in our bodies. There's sickness of mind. There's sickness of our emotion. There's spiritual sickness, which is sin. Do you get this? You have been given authority and power to deal with the demonic forces that try to oppose us. The word authority, you know what it means? To be able to act without hindrance. Anywhere in the first chapter of Genesis, when God spoke the earth into creation, did you ever see a demonic force try to stop him from creating the world? Did you ever hear of any hindrance? No, because he had all authority. Yet you and I believe and have accepted the lie from the devil, from the father of all lies, that you and I are to have hindrance in our life. No, I'm supposed to have trial and tribulation is going to come my way, but I'm to use my authority and my power given by Christ, all of it, to deal with every demonic power, all sickness, all disease, and every hindrance in my life. Why? So I can get about God's business faster. But for some reason, we're all in first gear. Because we're afraid that God's authority and his power can't keep up with what we do. Church, I'm telling you, if you can get a hold of the ability to identify the authority and the power that you have been given and what it's backed by. It's not backed by a badge. It's not backed by a gun like a policeman carries with his authority. It's backed by the risen Son of God who defeated death, hell, and the grave. No longer do we die and lay in a ground. We're only asleep. And if we believe that, then we believe he only gave us salvation. And you know the rest of the stuff. You got to deal with hindrance. You just got to deal with that. No. He gave me power over all demonic powers. He came to destroy, to abolish the work of the enemy. As a child and a son and daughter of the Most High God, you are not to be walking around begging, asking God to move on your behalf. Just start walking in what he's doing and believe that he did it when you prayed. He said, if you would speak to the mountain, speak to that mountain and tell it to move, then it would. Then why is it? Well, now, you know, I know you're a big mountain. And I know that I got to go through some doctors. And I know this. But God, if you're willing, I'm just asking you, God, to reach down and heal me. No. I've been given authority and power to take care of all disease and sickness. Devil, I speak to this sickness you're trying to put upon me. And I command you, devil, to let go of me. Sickness be gone in the name of Jesus. Done. Now walk like it's done. Let your words be that it's done. Let your action in your body be that it's done. You feel like you've got acid reflux because you drink orange juice and you've prayed the prayer of faith and you believe, you know what the first thing I do? Go get me that orange juice and drink it. Don't you believe the devil that if you drink that at 9 o'clock, you're going to have acid reflux all night? Begin to use your faith and make your body do what the word said you're allowed to do. Now, by all means, I'm just going to tell you straight up, do not go off your medicine that's keeping you alive. Sometimes this authority has to be learned and practiced and exercised. I don't go to your doctor and tell him, Pastor Nicole told me go off all my diabetes medicine and then you die on me the next day because your blood sugar is at 60. Don't do that. And I don't think that's the way that works. I think it's backwards. But anyways, there's a process to this. But if you don't start the process of walking in your authority and the power now, you're never going to begin walking in it. This is God's best for your life. Amen. I use this as an example for you today. Now, I'm a woman, and I know some of you men might feel safe pulling over in today's world. But I'm just going to tell you straight up, you can chase me down with your dumb lights. Hear me out. You can chase me down a road, but if you don't have a police car, a police suit, and chances are a gun, I'm not pulling over for you. I'm driving straight to my husband or to the police station myself to verify that you're who you say you are. Now, men, you're in a different situation because you're not often overpowered by somebody. But as women, I feel a little less than, and I don't like that when there's something going on. I'm looking to stay away from trouble, right? But I've been in a traffic stop where a highway patrol state man gets out of his car, and I'm talking, they're cruising on the interstate. I mean, we're on a vacation. It's amazing. You're getting there faster than you think. Your mileage trip thingamajiggy is going down on your arrival time, if you know what I'm saying. It means you're making good ground, right? Even when you get your restroom stop, you make up for it on the highway. They were cruising and they were zooming. And I saw this whole pack of them run by us. I'm like, Randy, you should get in that pack. And oftentimes he does, but in this one, he didn't. Well, thank God, because about 3 miles up the road, there's a highway patrolman, not in the second lane, in the first lane of the highway. Like this. And I'm like, oh my gosh. The guts of this highway patrolman that he actually knew that his authority was going to be honored when he stood in the middle of that highway and went, you there. And buddy, they started lining up. And don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about, because when you pass a highway patrolman and you don't know if you're speeding or not, your heart starts to race. And you look in your rearview mirror just to see if he's going to pull out, right? Don't even at me. I've been you before. I'm there. I push the limits a little bit. 78, you're something, and 79, you're mine. That's what Lincoln says. And so I just stick with his rules. If I'm underneath that threshold, I'm good. I'm a pusher of those limits. But what I'm here to remind you of is that we as the Christian church, see, we dress the part of the policeman. We dress the part all the time, but we never execute our authority. We don't step in the lane of the devil and look at him and go, you, I'm calling you out. That's right. You sickness, you disease, you liar, you stealer of my finances. You're trying to wreck my family. You, get out in the name of Jesus. We don't do that. We don't do that. But let me tell you something. There's a difference. The authority that come with that highway patrolman is real simple. He has tools. He has a belt with a gun. He's got backup that he can call. And you believe that when he's in his authoritative state, that you can count on that if you don't do what he's going to do, there's a powder that he's got that is his power. And you know that he can use it. Does the devil know that you carry power? Or are you just a bunch of hot air? Or you just blowing it to blow, and he really knows that they're just calling these things out because they're mimicking authority. Or they really know the word of God, and they know that Jesus gave them all power to cast it out. Because I'm here to tell you right now, when I step up and I look in that lane and I tell that devil to get out of my way, there's a host of angels waiting to carry out the word of God to deal with that destruction, to deal with that situation that I've been struggling with. That hindrance that was in my way has been removed and set aside. Why? So that I can walk on through and get to where I'm going without hindrance. Because that's the authority that Christ gave me. Jesus looked at a fig tree. A fig tree. Who would care about a fig tree? Except listen, the Savior of the world, the God who designed this world, created that fig tree to bring forth fruit in certain seasons. And when leaves were on a fig tree, there should be fruit. Jesus identified that what had been created was not doing its purpose or its plan in the right way. When he saw leaves from afar, he thought, well, I'm hungry. I'm going to get me a fig when I get there. And when he went and there was none, he said, curse that tree. The disciples are like, okay, whatever. It's a tree, Jesus. It didn't have fruit. It's fine. No big deal. Come out 24 hours later, the tree's dead from the roots up. Why? Because it didn't bear the fruit. It didn't do what it had been designed to do from the beginning of creation. God spoke his word into existence. And when he planted that fig tree and gave every seed bearing fruit, it should be bearing fruit when he told it to bear fruit. And when it didn't, he cut it off, it died, and it was over. What was that? Christ showing his authority to carry out what God had started, and he finished it. What Jesus started, you and I are here to finish. Do you understand that you don't just have authority over demons and sickness? You have authority over this earth. You have authority when a storm comes. Why are we praying, oh Lord, don't let it hurt people in the storm? Command the storm to stop. Jesus never negotiated with a storm. He never negotiated with a fire. Why is not every Christian believer speaking to a wildfire in California and telling it to cease up and dry up and stop killing people and taking stuff? Why? Why has it become a political battle? Do you think God wants people to die? Do you think he wants their homes lost, no matter how sinful they are, no matter how evil they are? We are in the church age. We are in a time where God's grace through Christ has come to save men and women. And God be it that a set of righteous people would stand up in California and point their hands toward the storm and it would silence and God would get glory for it. But somehow in our minds, we're like, oh, well, that's California. They deserve that judgment. What? Oh, judgment's coming. But right now, share the love of God and the grace and the mercy that's been bestowed and call all men unto him that some might be saved. Destruction is not God's way of getting people to turn. In the New Testament, there is a day of destruction coming and judgment's coming, But let me tell you, let us all judge ourselves before we're judged. And as harshly as you judge California, and as harshly as you judge, I don't know, New Jersey, Maine, wherever they are, I don't even know the states, however hard you judge them, you're going to be judged the same way that we would be found with mercy and grace. Amen. Romans 8, 35 and 38 says that you are more than conquerors and that you have authority over the works of devil. If you don't act on your authority, then the devil's never going to leave you alone. The only power that the enemy has is what you allow him to take from your life. Did you hear that? Oh, in some of our minds, the devil's very powerful. You want to know why? Because we've just remained non-resistant. When you become passive with the devil will take more and more and more and more. He doesn't stop with one thought. He sells you thought after thought after thought after thought. And that thought has a baby. And that baby has five babies. And that baby has babies. And before you know it, your heart, your soul, your heart and your mind, which equal the soul of man, are filled with weeds and lies of the enemy. And then when the pastor stands on Sunday and tells you that God is the God of impossible, you said, well, not always. And doubt begins to sit in the heart and the mind of man. And then doubt and unbelief begins to breed. And then you have a church that is rendered powerless in a day and age when if the church does not rise to the authority that it's been given by Christ, the world will believe that Jesus is subpar and that he can't do everything. Church, I'm telling you, we got to shake our faith awake and know that when you pray, you are heard. When you pray, things change. Do you identify that the enemy is afraid of you? I was rocking my grandbaby the other day, and I'm just going to tell you, she is amazing. Oh, I was just rocking her. And as I was rocking her, I was just calling out the things that she's going to be when she's older. I'm not sowing her mind filled with seeds. I'm not putting on her what I think she's going to be. I'm telling her that Christ is going to tell her at an early age what she's going to do. And that she's going to be about the Father's business early. And that she's going to act without hindrance. And that she's going to find him at an early age. But as I got speaking over her, and I already had this message wrote. Well, the Holy Spirit had this message wrote through my penmanship. As I was looking at her, I looked at her and I said, Lacey May, do you identify that the enemy is already trying to wreck your world because he's scared to death of you? He's scared to death of what she's going to become. He's scared to death of the devils and the fury that she's going to create on this earth. When she looks at the devil and she says, no, 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 no. My Gigi told me that you need to go over there. She's going to have a power and authority from her grandmother's mother and mother's child. She's going to be like Timothy. Do you not remember the faith that was in your mother and your grandmother? Timothy, stir it awake. Stir the fire of faith and let it awaken. Church, you have Peter Dosik's faith within you. And now you have Pastor Nicole's faith within you. Let it rise. Stir it up and let the devil know that you wear a jacket with authority given by Christ and that you got the packing power to go with it. And tell the devil what he can do with sickness in your life, what he can do with the hindrance that he brings when you know he's called you to do something. Don't lay down, don't give up, don't you give in, but stand up and begin to command and demand the enemy to obey you. That's right. I think you've forgotten that there's some things in this life that God's not in control of. And God's not going to take control of your situation. He gave you the authority and the power to take authority of your situation. And some of us are waiting on God to intervene. And he's like, child, I already gave you the power. And I already gave you the authority. But you have to resist the lie of the devil. That you have to beg me in prayer. You have to resist the lie of the enemy that says you're not good enough to get what I'm going to give you. That's only for disciples. That's only for the pastors and the fivefold ministry. That's only for people who don't sin and don't make mistakes. Come on. Resist the devil and he will flee. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Not his brute force, not his punch, not his sickness, not his disease. His schemes, his trickery. Shake yourself awake. It's a trick to get you to buy in that God really isn't who he says he is. And you really don't have any power. And you're really going to die and stay in the grave. And that's not true. Church, if you would, stand to your feet. You know, it's not my week next week to preach, but I still got 2 pages and I think 6 scriptures back there at the IMAG. We'll just see how tired Pastor Randy is. And if he's tired, then we'll just continue on the 6 scriptures we have for next week. Amen? And if not, then I'll leave him my notes, as he says, and maybe he'll pick up where I left off. Oh, Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, that we would be people of authority and power. God, I take authority. I take authority over the thoughts and the lies of the devil. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak to every mind and every heart under the sound of my voice, even through these airways, whether it be Facebook, whether it be Instagram, whether it be YouTube, whatever it is, you're live right now with us. I take authority over the lies of the devil that have told you that you're not enough. That have told you that your faith won't work. That has told you that you don't have power to resist in the sense of that sin. Yes, you do. God's given us all power and all authority to deal with every devil, every sickness, every disease. Father, we repent. God, in turn from our ways, Father, of thinking these thoughts, God, and allowing the Father to birth these lies in our heart. God, right now, I just ask you, God, to begin to deal with my heart, Father. Begin to show me, Father, ways that the enemy's deceived me. Father, let my mouth speak forth your word. Let my mouth be in action. Not just in commanding things to change, but God, in my prayer life. God, that I'm not begging you in prayer, but God, I walk boldly in the prayer that you've given me. God, for I am righteous. And I am in right standing with you. And God, that anything I pray shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. I speak right now to this group, if there be anybody under the sound of my voice in this house today that needs to become right with God. Maybe you've been living under the power of the enemy. And you're just like, Pastor Nicole, I don't know how to get sin free. I'm trying, but it ain't working. That's okay. When you give your life to Christ, when you give your life to Christ, that authority, that power, David, grab Frederick. Just begin to pray for him. Love on him. Listen, I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you right now that you do have the ability with the help of Christ to stay out of that sin. You have an authority over sin, and you don't have to live like that no longer. God's willing to help. He's in this with you. Your church is in this with you. It's not by chance that you're here today in this house and this message was taught. This is the way God works. So if you're here today and you want to make it right with God, maybe you've been running. Or maybe you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. If you're here, let's just close our eyes, bow our heads. Let's give some anonymity here. There it is. If you're here in the house and you'd like to say yes to Jesus today, just slip your hand up. Let me see that hand. Let me see that hand. Let me see that hand. Are you present today? Big, big. Up in the risers, if you're up there, I need it big. I got to see it. Anybody? Anybody? Yes. Okay. God sees that. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, God, I just thank you that every heart here would be softened to hear the nudge of the Lord. Father, courage come in their hearts that they would have the strength to raise their hand. The courage to make a decision for you despite what their friends say, despite what their I see that hand. I see that hand. Yes. Mm-hmm. Brother John. Yep, there it is. Ella. John, right there in the balcony. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Salvation, greatest miracle of all. God's ability to work through the heart of man, transform him and change him, and make him into something that he can use. He didn't pick the ones that were qualified. He picks the ones that are unqualified, because through that he gets more glory. Grab the hand of the person next to you today. Being 21 days of prayer, prayer is something that you exercise. And I'm going to ask that we end today's service with prayer for one another. Those of you that have been coming to in-house 21 days of prayer, thank you. You're on day 7. You're making it. By the way, we don't meet at 6 o'clock tonight. We've met this morning. We've done corporate prayer this morning for those 10 minutes. Please feel free to put your 25, 30 minutes of your personal prayer time in tonight. We convene Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all at 6 o'clock, and on Saturday at 8 o'clock. For those of you that are second shifters, we want to get you involved too. You can come be with us at 8 in the morning. Pray with thank you for praying with us at night. I know there's some ladies out there that every night they're faithful. 6 o'clock, they're turning us on. They're praying with us. And praying down the house. I want you to pray for the person on your right and the person on your left. And then we're going to pray corporately as we dismiss today. But I want everyone to pray for them this week about their prayer life. I want you to pray for them the strength to endure 21 days. I want you to pray for a breakthrough in their life in these 21 days. And let's begin to see what God will do. Amen. Pray with me.